that's our cry. Lord, we confess apart from you, we can do nothing. What we can say, Lord, but more of you. Father, we humbly pray, Lord, as we just bow ourselves before you and ask, Father, that you would glorify yourself tonight in each one of us, both speaker and hearer. We pray, Lord, that though we're few in number tonight, Lord, you didn't need many to put the enemy in rout. We know that Satan numbers his group, but you weigh yours. And so, Father, we're just believing that you're going to do the exceedingly abundantly tonight. Father, we pray that you break every shackle, break every chain, anything at all, Lord, that would hinder. Help us to just lay aside this week and the busyness, Father. Let us put aside the tired. Father, we are in your presence now. So just draw us, draw each one, Lord. May we just gain strength. May we gain inspiration. May we gain courage, Lord, to take those steps, Father, that you've ordained us to. Grant it, Lord. So glorify yourself now, we pray, as we commit everything in your hands. This we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, music department. Appreciate your service to us tonight. It's a real blessing. We're so immensely blessed for our music department. Amen. I sure appreciate the song, the music. Am I too hot here? Too loud? I'm okay? All right. I'm going to get a little bit of feedback. Should we move the speaker forward? We okay? All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. Had a glorious weekend, albeit warm. Amen. Just want to thank the Hoffmans again so much, opening up their nice place up there. Every one of the kids, the offspring, rallying together just to make it such a wonderful success. We're all comfortable. I really appreciate the sacrifice and just the opportunity for us to gather like that, to be able to fellowship. And so, again, thank you. The Lord is good. Amen. What's that?
All the time
he's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know you probably mentioned already that Brother Derek is on a flight. I think even he might even be already gone. He's going to England for a couple of weeks. Just pray the Lord richly bless him as he travels. Just be a light as he goes. And we know that that's the desire of his heart. And just if I forget to say it, we also, my family, we're planning on, is it better?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other distractions? It's one thing about it, you don't have a mirror, you know, as you put this on to know what you look like. So I don't mind.
You look fine.
Do I look fine now? Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so we too are going to be gone, the Schwartz family, this Saturday we're leaving, and we'll be back by Friday of next week. And so we'll miss Sunday service and Wednesday. So just a shout out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is good. He is gracious. I sure appreciate the cool weather. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, let's thank the Lord and all things give thanks. Colossians. Let's turn, all stand to our feet if we would, and let's turn to Colossians. In honor of God's word. And Colossians 1:16 is where we want to turn to. Chapter 1, verse 16. Praise the Lord. Talking about Jesus. Praise the Lord. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word here. We just pray that you break to us the bread of life. Grant it, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated, please. Praise the Lord. Yes, who knows? This, I guess we're here all month in this room. And then we'll just see where we go from there, right? Praise the Lord. So we're just thankful. Anyway, very gracious to the owners of this facility to give us this. This is just really wonderful. It's really helped to meet our needs in just a wonderful way. And so we're very, very grateful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tonight, the thought that's on my heart is this thought here, enticing spirits versus discerning and doing God's will. And one of the things that struck me was in Elisha's testimony. He said he's never run into this before. He's never run into where someone would actually give themselves over, a spirit would actually look to another source other than God for their strength, for their peace, for their direction, you know. And a little spoiler here, there is no peace outside of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have to have my family sit behind me. Praise the Lord. Is all well? Good? Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we just want to talk about that a little bit here and just lay down some things that many of us may understand, but we want to make sure that we understand that there is a demonic realm, right? And then there's God's realm. We emphasize God a lot, and sometimes we don't fully illuminate what the devil does. And we're not going to get deep into the devil, because even the Bible warns us there too, not to go too deep, because there are some things that are so black and evil and dark that we shouldn't even talk about them. Don't look, it's enough that you know about them and then just leave it there. Unless you're called to wade right in there and rescue people from out of that, you know, you best not to dwell on the things that the devil does. Okay, but we'll talk on some of those things, but I want you to keep in mind, God is supreme over all. He is triumph over everything. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if you get tired, I sure welcome you to stand up there, and I'll probably stand up back there with you. I understand what it is like to be tired, so praise the Lord. The Bible is very clear. We know that everything in this physical world is controlled by the unseen. Every person is either possessed or influenced by God, or possessed and influenced by the devil, right? And that makes up all of humanity. But even in ourselves, we can be possessed by God, but still influenced by the devil, right? He doesn't leave us alone. Or does he leave you alone? He doesn't leave me alone. Even if we're sealed away with God, Satan will try to tempt or trick or entice you away from the things of God. That's his plan. If he can even slow you down from fulfilling God's will, if for any moment of the day, he feels he's won. So keep that in mind. We are facing a very crafty foe. Though he's been defeated, yet he's very good with his craft. Paul states in Galatians 5:17, "For flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other." And Brother Branham preached a sermon, the greatest battle that ever fought. It was between God and Satan, right up here in the mind. Amen? And the thing that defeats the devil every time is God's word. God's word is the sword of the Spirit. And by that, you defeat every foe, every demon. Cannot stand before God's word if it's handled with the hand of faith. You know, Brother Branham talked about how that Satan can only possess somebody if it's hiding behind a lie. There's some kind of a lie or something whereby they go in there and they hook and they grab onto somebody. And he has his influence then on them. And it's the truth of God's word that comes that illuminate and shows the lie for what it is and exposes the devil, and the devil flees. And that's why Brother Branham said that preaching, oftentimes, it scatters devils. Because truth is being proclaimed and it exposes the devil and he leaves. Amen. Amen. So, demons are powerless unless they possess a vessel. They need something to work through. You know, remember how Legion, where, you know, when Jesus came to them in his end, and Jesus asked him, "How many are there of you?" He says, "Well, you know, there's a legion of us, for we are many," right? And those demons, they pleaded with Jesus. Say, "Just don't cast us out into the deep. You know, put us in, you know, that herd of swine over there." You know, they need a vessel to go into. The worst thing that they want to do is to go someplace where they can't live and work and move. They're very happy when they're finding a vessel that's waiting there ready to receive them. So they can just come right in. And sometimes it's not just one, but they'll take a few of their buddies. The Bible's very, very clear about that. But demons cannot cross over the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, keep that in mind. Amen? They can only pesk and hinder a child of God. They cannot possess a child of God that's born again of the Spirit of God. Amen? You can't be filled with God and filled with the devil at the same time. These two do not coincide at all. If you're filled with God, he's sealed out. Amen? Praise the Lord. So there are actually people in this world that are totally given over to Satan. In fact, they made a pact with the devil. When Brother Jason was up here Wednesday, he was talking about music and the influence of music and how many of these artists, quote unquote, they've given their soul, they made a pact with the devil that he would then come in and cause them to be successful, cause them to be talented, cause their music to have an influence on others so that they would sell millions of dollars, so that they would be popular, you know. So when Brother Elisha had testified to what he had witnessed with his cousin in England, what he had seen there, he'd never heard of that before. It is far worse than what he has witnessed. Believe me when I tell you that there are people that have totally given over to this horrible, evil wickedness for a promise to receive power or money or fame. And through that, they have lost all ability to be able to empathize, to be able to sympathize, to be able to feel what others around them feel. It's terrible. And therefore, when they go about doing what they're doing, they do great harm, great hurt to others, and They hurt not only themselves ultimately in the end, but they will hurt as many as far as their influence can reach. Satan is happy when that happens, okay? And when Satan comes in like a flood, God raises a standard, right? The one thing that stands in the way of this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Amen? So let me not get ahead of myself. Let me just say this. Satan is very organized and focused with his efforts to thwart God and his plan. He's very focused. And again, the thing that gets in the way is you and I. The thing that gets in the way of his plan is the bride of Jesus Christ. Christians. And those most effective for Christ are his biggest target. If Satan could take us out, he would. But he can't. But he can't. Worldwide, the persecution of Christianity is on the rise. I've got this website here. It states worldwide Christians are the most persecuted group. Think about that. But you know that. You know, even anecdotally, you know many cases too. When you hear about this Christian village getting overrun and horrible things happen to them, their churches burned and destroyed, and thousands of them killed. And you hear that, and it's ho-hum. No reaction at all by the media, no reaction at all, no big uproar. But you let that happen to a Muslim mosque somewhere, or Hindu, or something like that, and oh my, the uproar. Right? Just horrible things. So it seems everywhere Christians can be killed or grossly mistreated without impunity, without any repercussions whatsoever. Any other group? Rage and outcry. Right? This is what we see everywhere. We see them getting away with it, with impunity. Why is that? Because you can see Satan is gaining his influence over all nations and people and tongue, right? Yeah, you can see him pressing his way in this dimension. Here, even today in the U.S., a drag queen at story hour has greater rights than parents, let me say this right here, whose religious rights are supposedly constitutionally protected in such places like Maryland and other places, where you have a corrupt judge ruling against parents to disallow them from removing their children from school during those times when these things are going on, or even to be warned when these sorts of things and perversions and so forth is going on. You can't remove your children from class. Well, excuse me. You excuse me. Who gave you those children? Nobody. Who is over those children? God is over those children. And whom did he give that responsibility to? Their parents. Not to be usurped by any government or any other authority. There's only one thing that is God. And so you have our fathers said we have inalienable rights. In other words, these rights were given to you by the Creator. And it doesn't take the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence to say that to you. These are something that was given to you by God, not that any law or any man or army can take from you. You still have this right. Even in prison, you still have this right, okay? Amen. God has given you this. And you and I may have to make a stand, right? Just like the children of Israel. When they ask us to bow before that golden calf, we may have to say, no, we're not going to. We'd rather suffer the consequences, whatever that is, than to follow this godless calf scheme that is before us, we want to honor God. Amen? We want to honor God, and you in so doing, and you making a stand, you'll actually bless those around you by making such a stand. And you're honoring God, and when you honor God, God in turn will honor you. Amen?
Yeah.
So then it's not following like sheep to some degree of some ruler somewhere. God's people were always told that they have to stand alone before God, regardless of the consequences, whether it's in a fiery furnace or in a pit of lions or whatever it is, you stand for God, whatever that is. And I just want to drop something in here, and you feel that as you want to, but you remember that one time when Jesus was asked, shall we pay taxes? And that was a good question to ask because they were free people. I mean, it was a good theological one to ask. And he said, who is that inscription? You know, or he said, give me a piece of money, you know. And they threw it to him and he looked and he says, who is that inscription that's on that coin right there? And they said, Caesar's. You know the story. And he said, give unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's, and unto God's which is God's. You want to know something? That whole thing about masking? Do you realize that they're only doing that? Not because it saves people from getting sick. They could care less. In fact, the more of you that get sick, the happier in truth. The reason why they have that masking right there like that is to see if people are in compliance, if they're sheep. And that something happens when you put a mask over people. You shut down your communication. You begin to isolate. You isolate people. People feel like they're by themselves. Okay? This is what they want to do. And you don't know one other thing that they're doing? Whose image is on you? God. They want to cover up the image of God. Now think about that. Sometimes you may have to wear a mask when you're sanding something and dust is flying everywhere. It's advantageous to put on a mask. But in general, it's not healthy to wear a mask just because. So, and there's a lot of scared people. When you see people walking around with that mask, it actually shows there's somebody that needs ministering to. They need to be shown truth of the gospel. You know, because they're walking around in fear. They don't want to be afraid. They're fearful. And God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Amen. And I got to just say what this one fellow said. I love that quote. He says, that mask doesn't stop a virus any more than a rose bush will stop a 30-06. That's a pretty good word picture there. So, but that's just science. But besides above all that, be wise of what the devil's trying to do. Okay, be wise. So when we make a stand for the Lord, we're actually honoring God. And that's what we want to do. We want to honor God in everything. You're not going to stand out, right, unless you do honor God. And you're not going to honor God unless you, you know, make that stand for the Lord. Amen? So Satan knows that his time is short, and he's pulling out all stops, just everywhere. He's pulling out all stops. He's working through people around the world. I don't care what you call them. You can call them the Jesuits. You can call them the globalists. You can call them the World Economic Forum. You can call them the Chinese. I don't care who you speak up. It's got one source, and that's the devil. Devil is working through all those things together to bring to his scheme to pass, right? And he can't do one thing without God allowing it. I'm going to keep pressing on that because it is the truth. The devil can't do one thing without getting permission first from God. Amen? Amen? Okay. So, You can see hell pressing itself in this dimension, where the whole world even is witnessing the blackness. Everybody's, you know, beginning to talk about, you know, all the wicked and the evil that is going, you know, coming in here. It's very palpable. They can see that. See? So while Satan is bringing into this dimension, you and I, little by little, is we're getting pulled out of here. Amen? Amen? And see, that's always the type. And if you think about it, are you tired of making bricks? Right? Right? You know? Now, bricks without straw, I mean, they're going to make it weird. They want to throw you in a place, you know, and little 250 square foot room and feed you bugs and you'll be happy, right? No. You know, all that is just, it's just nonsense, right? But regardless of what they will try to do to us and to our physical bodies, we don't have anything to fear because God is with us. God is with us. Amen? And what is the cry? And now remember, the cry of those, when that heat started getting hotter there in Egypt, what was it? The people began to cry out, didn't they? God wanted them to cry out. He'd already foretold that he was going to deliver them, but yet there had to be something in the people where they had to cry out for that deliverance, right? Amen? So there's something in us, you know, and Brother Branham preached this sermon, you know, as the eagle stirreth its nest. It makes it uncomfortable there to where the little ones, you know, they don't get the benefit of the nice, cushy, soft fur that they're sitting on that was so comfortable. He pulls all those things out of there. So those little eaglets are not comfortable anymore, kids, to where they want to stay in that nest, but they want to spread their wings. And to watch Mama Eagle, see what she has done, you know, do what Papa Eagle has done, what they see, do, spread their wings and just set their wings in the sky. Amen. What is the cry of the bride? Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Excuse me. So, thank you. You and I, praise the Lord, the presence of the bride in this world is holding back Satan's efforts. Paul says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Only he, Brother Branham, showed us what this meant. Only he, the Holy Ghost, who now letteth, that hinders, holds back, will let, that's hinder, until he, the Holy Ghost, and the bride be taken out of the way. Can you see that? When the bride leaves, then there's nothing holding back the devil anymore. And anything that's on the heart of the devil to do, he is going to do. Then Satan will be free for all here on this earth. Brother Branham said that they would hunt down the remnant, those that didn't go up in the rapture, hunt them like dogs. The Bible clearly states that the beast will make war with the saints and prevail during this time. Isn't that something? Nobody wants to be here when that happens. It's happening because nations and systems in this world have turned down Christ. So God is lifting his hand off, and he's lifting his elect with it. Amen? Off this earth, you know, and Brother Branham saw a vision of it. He said he would rather have the oath of the Knights of Columbus perpetrated on him than to spend 10 minutes in the tribulation period. I can't imagine. I didn't give the list of the oath of the Knights of Columbus here. It's grisly. It's torturous. If you're curious, look it up. Brother Branham obviously had read that. And he said, I would rather have that on me than to go through just 10 minutes in the tribulation period. That should say something. Hell will be loosed on the earth. Amen? So that's in the future. And I would might say in the near future, right? What about now? We have our battle to fight. We have our place to fight, kids. Yes, you're in this battle too with us. Very much so. And the devil would love to have you. But the Lord Jesus is watching over you and he's protecting you, and you stay close to Jesus Christ. Stay close to the shepherd. The Bible clearly says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Though he's a defeated foe, right? He's going around as if he's winning. Yeah. But he's not. He's nothing but a bluff, because the Lord has him on a leash. Again, Satan can't do one thing without permission. And Satan has gotten very good at knowing human nature, right? Abraham Lincoln once said that a man can change his behavior, some, but not his nature. The only way you can change your nature is to take on the nature of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And even then, you will still have your flesh. Your flesh will still be here, will still be here. There'll still be burrs and stickers and everything. This flesh is not redeemed. It does not inherit eternal life. It is corruption. Get that through our heads, you know. This flesh isn't going. We're going to leave this thing. We're going to drop this behind. When we leave this, we've got another one waiting in the heavens. Amen? So, kids, there's only one place to go to, and that's to Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't think you can do this on your own, okay? Don't think you can by your own strength, by your own smarts, by your own good looks, your own beauty. You know, any talent you have is because God gave it to you. Anything that you have in your life, any ability and even inability, God gave it to you so that he might declare himself through you. He has a message that he wants to declare. And that message he wants to declare through you in the frame, the picture it is, that is your life, that is you. And only you can declare it in the way that you declare it. Nobody can take your place in that. Some might come close, but they would be poor imitators. Amen. God has called you uniquely. Amen. To declare him. Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of things that the devil is telling you. He'll say, there's time. Don't bother coming to Christ now. You know, you've got time. You're still a kid. You know, he's a liar. There's not a lot of time. He's not a lot of time. And think of little Samuel. He was just a kid and God used him. Don't think you're too young that God can't use you. He can. You just need to surrender yourself. You watch and see what God can do when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Amen? If you think about what the devil's trying to do, trying to tell you it doesn't hurt to fritter away your time with empty pursuits like video games and other earthly entertainments. The thing that God has given you is life. You know, he's given us life. And we have only one go-around of this. I can't get into a younger body and, you know, keep on going. Unless the Lord would speak my body young like Abraham, this is it. This is as young as I'm going to look going forward, okay? You have only one chance at life. And the Lord wants to use it to the fullness. He wants, in you giving yourself to Christ, you'll find out that your life is going to be the fullest it possibly can be. Why is that? Because He made you. He knows everything about you. And He wants to use you. Okay? Amen? And remember, you've got a devil. What does the devil want to do? He wants to hook you with drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex, pornography, or any other addiction known to man. He'll tempt you with things that seem so alluring, but in every case, it leads to bondage and death. It leads to bondage, always. Amen. You remember Darren Markert? Darren Markert? You remember him? He came to, you know, the Bible study and so forth. He was friends with Pat Fregali. Remember him? He did it all. He had his drugs, hooked on drugs. He was alcoholic, illicit sex. He, in the end, you know, got into gambling. And I thought this was really profound. He says, of all of these temptations that I've immersed myself in, he found that gambling was the most addictive, even more than drugs. Isn't that something? Steer clear of these. These are pits, kids. Go wide, wide, wide front. No matter how alluring anything these are, there's nothing good in them. Anybody who's delved in any of these things has gotten no fulfillment out of them. It is very much like drinking salt water. It makes you thirstier, but it never satisfies. It only brings you down. It ruins your health, both morally, spiritually, and physically. Stay wide clear of that. It ruins lives. These paths are lined with ruined lives. Amen? Stay clear of that. It's funny how it is, how alluring. Satan offers you freedom. Come here, be free. Come, partake. Be free. And whatever the devil offers you, kids, remember this. Whatever he says it is, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. He doesn't lead you to freedom. He leads you to bondage, right? And then after bondage, what's next? The wages of sin is, kids?
Death.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's a paradox. Here's a paradox. Freedom is always found on the road that is difficult. Yeah, think about that. Jesus said, Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Are you one of the few? Amen? Claim it. I am one of the few. Praise the Lord. If you want to fritter away your life, take the easy way. Take the way that appeals to the flesh. Take the way that which draws. Take those sorts of things, the things that keep you soft. Right? That takes you down the river, downstream, wherever it winds. It's much harder to grab the oars and challenge the river and paddle upstream, to go against the grain, to go against the crowd, to go against where everyone else is doing. It's much, much harder. But you know, at the source of the river is life. Life is teeming right there. There's an abundance of life right there. Acts 17:27 says this, that they should seek the Lord they might feel after him, talking about God, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. That's what God wants. Seek him. They that seek him shall be found of him, the Bible says. I just read it. Seek him. He desires to possess you. Amen. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. See, he watches over you. He protects you. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is that man that trusteth in him. So we trust the Lord no matter what. He provides for us. He protects us. He leads us. Amen. He comforts us. He fights our battles. Verse 9 says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. There's no lack to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, shall not lack any good thing. These are promises, promises of God. Praise the Lord. This time is going way too fast, or I'm way too slow, both. The Lord is good. So what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do? What does God want, right? The best way, obviously, is to seek the Lord, your Creator, the one that made you, with all of your hearts. Amen? Seek him that you may fulfill his purpose, for he's made you and put you here on earth for a purpose. God gave gifts, placed them in each of you. You weren't given them to be used by the devil. They were given whereby you may glorify God. Amen? In humility. Offering yourself as a sacrifice before God to use as he chooses. Amen. If he chooses to put you up on a shelf, that's his prerogative. Glory to God, I'm up on the shelf. I'm glorifying God here. I don't know how long he wants me here, but if he's pleased to put me here on the shelf, then I'm going to contend myself with what he knows best. You might have one part to play. It might be that guy of the cymbals in the orchestra, Lily. Big crescendo, big part. It's an important part in the orchestra. But you don't see the cymbal going, right? Everything is perfect. Perfect. The conductor has got a perfect place and a perfect spot for each one of us. Amen? There was a man, a little anecdote here, by the name of Paul Anderson. Everybody hear about him? He's the strongest man in the world. I remember when I was a kid, I looked at the World Book of Records. Guy, just a beefy guy. He was down on some kind of a platform on the ground, and he was holding, I think it was like a 747 back, you know, trying to keep it from taking off. You know, I don't know how long it was, but I mean, the visual was just amazing. You know, he'd pull a train, you know, that sort of thing. Just a strong, strong guy. I've got a number of things that he did, and he listed. Many people regard him as the strongest man that has ever lived. And you know what the bench press is? Get down. You know what the record is for that, Brother Peter? 1,129 pounds. They have a certain kind of a suit, though. It's that they don't call it raw. The raw one, though, is still over 800. You know, I mean, we're bare arms, you know, but just with a certain. I don't know how that suit helps. It looks thin. I don't know how that would help. Wouldn't help me lift a noodle. I don't understand, but. You know, but 1,229, that's a lot. But this guy here, Paul Anderson, they had on a trestle lift, you know, getting under a bar and pressing it up like that. I'm going to read this to you so I'm not misquoting. How many say one ton? Someone say one ton? Huh? About 2 tons. Higher. 6,270 pounds. That's over 3 tons that he lifted up like this. 3 tons. That is beyond strong. That's just powerful. God made him that way. And this man gave his heart to Christ, and he knew that God had given him a gift. God made him strong, so he was going to glorify God with that gift, and everywhere he testified of Christ. And he opened up a home for orphans, for the childless. He and his wife were the parents of that home, and they teach them discipline. They teach them about the love of Christ and Christianity. And he used his life to glorify God, and the Lord put him before kings, before presidents, people all around the world. He met many people. And when one of them asked him, he says, "Who is the most important person that you've ever met?" Without even hesitating, he says, "It was Jesus Christ. He's the one that changed me when I met him," right? "And without him, I can't do anything." See? So whatever gift you have, kids, give it to God. God will multiply it. God will glorify himself through it. Amen? And there's many, many other gifts, and I've got a bunch of things here, but just for the sake of brevity, Satan would love to distract you from your purpose. Okay? And then adults and kids, but listen to this. We all have a certain weakness that God has allowed to be in us. He said, could be nervousness, could be, you know, weakness for something. Whatever that is, he said, Satan has been given one punch. God has allowed one punch to us from Satan. He says, and that is the area that you have to keep covered up. That is the area that you've got to avoid like the plague. And Brother Randall liked to tell this story about that cart walking. How close can you get to the, you know, edge, right, without going over? You know, and they bragged one to the other. But the idea is you want to get to the one who gets as close to the mountain as you possibly can. You see, that's where it's safest. You don't want to see how far you can get to the world without cascading over. Mm-hmm. You want to get away from the things of the world so that you can follow Christ. Amen? Amen? Well, there's a lot more here. And just, I know it's evening. Praise the Lord. God wants to use us to encourage and build up his body. That's the thing. What are you called to do? What gift is there for? Not for yourself. Again, it isn't about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And if he's called you, he's placed you into the body. For what purpose? That you may build up the body of Christ. Just like a tree doesn't eat its own fruit, right? They're to refresh the passersby. We're called that we may bless others. It says in Hebrews 12:11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Amen. So don't be weary. Amen. God's called you for a purpose. Satan's going to do everything that he can to try to discourage and try to get us to lay down and just to give up. No, the Bible exhorts us, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight the paths your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Let us go forth in the strength of the Lord. Hebrews 12:25 says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as though as of things which are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Everything in your life and my life that's loose, anything that's not of God, is going to shake. The Lord's going to see to it that it's going to shake. He wants one thing only, and that is himself. He is the foundation. He is the building blocks. He is everything. That when everything happens, amen, we're going to stand because we're made of material founded of God. Amen? 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 Praise the Lord. To cap, you've been called and put here for a purpose by God. Two, Satan will do all in his power to thwart God's purpose in your life. Three, Satan is already defeated. Remember always to draw nigh unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Doesn't matter what it is. Your God is bigger. I don't care if the devil is driving a bulldozer. God can knock the devil off that bulldozer. Amen? Amen? Amen. Recognize Satan and all his tactics and don't give in to them. Remember, kids, it is the little foxes that spoil, that gobble up all the grapes. Right? You'd think it's a little harmless. Oh, just a little grape here. It'll look pretty soon. You've got an empty vine. Okay? Don't give in to the easy little stuff. Seek God in all your decisions and don't be afraid of the hard choices, as Brother Branham had. Do you remember? It's often they're the best choices which God has for you. Do you remember how he was prophesied over? And he says, thou hast chosen the harder way, and it is the precise way, and it is my way. This in itself shall bring to pass a victory in love divine. Amen. Don't be afraid. It would have been much easier if Brother Branham would have just latched onto some denomination or some organization somewhere, or made his own thing an organization. He steered clear of organization altogether. Why? Because he knew that the organization would get wormed through and it would misdirect. I don't care what organization you start. You may start with the purest of motives, but somewhere along the line, someone is going to get in there, not going to have the same motive you do. It's not your organization, it was you that God used. It was that ministry or it was that person that God used singularly. Why is that? It's because it's the Holy Ghost in the person that leads. It's the Holy Ghost that was given to lead us. Isn't that what Brother Branham said? Yeah. And that's exactly the pattern we see in Brother Branham's thing. He didn't, though you have the evangelical, Brother William Branham Evangelical Association, he never stressed it. That wasn't his thing. He was just, Lord, where do you want me to go? You know, that was just something to write the checks to or something, you know, something that they set up, you know. But his leadership was always looking to the Lord. He didn't put his leadership under the governance of some board, okay? Nor in your life or my life. We put our governance under the governance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So the hard way, okay? Amen. And stir up the gifts that are in you for the edification of the body, for the glory of Christ. Don't just go along for the ride. God has got a purpose. He's using you for his glory. He's got something for you. And even as Paul exhorted Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. Amen. God will bring you through. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world, kids listen, before the foundation of the world to come into this world, to live in this world, and to die on the cross for the sins of this world? You believe that? Amen? You need to. It's the truth. This isn't a trick question. Do you believe also that you foreordained to come to Christ. Because if God came to send Christ to die on the cross, he's also foreordained people to come to believe him, to receive his grace, to receive his pardon, so that they could come and be reconciled to God. Amen? Believe that. Just as God has foreordained the one, he has foreordained the other. Then you have a purpose that God has called you to. It may not be great in the eyes of the world, what the world calls great, but it is precious in the sight of God. Amen? You are foreordained to fulfill the word of God. You're called of Christ, you're called into his body as functional members of his body. Amen? Musicians, could you come? Let's come now. Praise the Lord. God has got a purpose, amen, for each one of us. And I stand among you as one who's probably least gifted. And I don't say that out of false modesty. I know it. You know. But, you know, what little we have, we give it to God. And that's the point, right? What little is, and God can take something little and make something great with it. Okay? So, may that, my little bit, such as it is, may it encourage you just to do all you can for Christ. Amen? And everybody will profit and be blessed by it. Amen? Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your plan. We know that your plan done your way, it never lacks your provision. You are over us. You are in us. You are through us, Lord, for your glory and honor. That's what your word says. So have your way, oh God, in each life here, Father. We commit it to you, not only here, but also online. May you bless each one, knowing, Lord, that every person, wherever they are located, even in a veteran home, reaching a predestinated seed that would not have been otherwise reached, you have got a purpose and a place. And we are so thankful, Lord, for your sovereignty. We're so thankful, Lord, that you're mindful of us. And we're thankful, Lord, you don't make junk, but you've got a purpose. And everyone is a jewel in your sight. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Father, for we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You have... What's that? Eagle's wings. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, would you? Your wings to the winds of faith. sky. He does not struggle, he does not strive for the power that makes him rise is already in the sky. So set your wing to the winds of faith. You can cry to a higher place. Do not struggle, it's by grace. Set your wings to the winds of faith. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're mindful of us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We pray, Lord, that the word that we've heard, we pray, Lord, that you help us each one to fly. And Lord, we just want to bring all glory and honor to your name. Help us now, O God, we pray. Amen. Has anybody here got a need that they want prayer for, deliverance of, anything at all while we're here in the presence of the Lord is strong with us? Amen. Why don't you all come up here, please? Let's lay hands on her. She says she's having troubles hearing.